everybody, welcome to the DN35. We are back, and we must start first with an apology. It has taken quite a while.
It's been a while.
To get back together. I'd have never thought I'd been busy enough to not do this.
No, I've been here, there, and everywhere for a few weeks, so...
I've done the dad thing of decorating about 16 rooms in the apartment.
His room does indeed look different to last season. Maybe it's a sign that we're finally back in the league. He's got matching curtains to his paint and everything.
Well, unfortunately, had to get the paint to match the curtains because I am a little bit more poor than I let on, and I needed to keep the old blackout curtains. I quite like them, so I just got blue paint.
And also, the other thing to notice is we're not over the phone today.
I know, I didn't expect you here. In fact, you were my...
I just turned up today.
You and my better half had planned a concoction behind my back, which is slightly worrying that you were texting secret.
Well, yesterday didn't happen because I went to the cinema.
Yeah.
And then I just thought, oh, screw it, I'll just come down to Woking anyway. So, I drove all the way here for a podcast.
That's pretty good.
It's also not entirely true, but we'll go with that.
Good. So, we apologise. It is now, but we could also pass it off as we are football purists.
Well, yeah.
And nobody looks at the football table until after 10 games.
10 games. Just let it settle.
That's how we're doing it. So, that's the actual legitimate reason as to why we've been away.
And absolutely nothing has happened in the last month or so. 6 weeks, probably, that we've been away. Absolutely nothing.
One of the good things about following town is that it can be quite dull. Nothing really ever happens. Not even when the football's on. It's just nice and quiet, sedate.
It's lovely. Nothing happens on or off the pitch.
Quick rundown. We will literally just do a bullet point.
Yeah, well, most people listening to this podcast will know what's happened with
town.
Exactly. So we'll keep it brief.
Fenty's statement in the paper.
Which one?
The National League one about League Three, where he's quite happy to introduce Premier League teams.
No, he opposed that at the fan forum.
He did, but he didn't do it in the paper.
No, but I'd put that down to just horrendous club PR rather than Fendi's
opinions.
Which
never happens. Never happens.
What?
Whether it be
bad club PR?
Getting rid of a mascot and making people charge £300 for the pleasure of wearing a really
that had happened, actually.
Thick, heavy, hot suit.
Yeah, well, they got rid of that, so we now have a voluntary mascot along with our voluntary PR department.
Controversial opinion. I don't give a fuck.
I thought you did.
Kind of.
That's why I brought it up. I was like,
not really.
You up for it.
No, don't really give a fuck. It's a mascot. It was quite funny.
The mascot. I was like leaning towards the PR department or the...
No, the PR department, shit. But, I mean, in terms of, they've got to try something. If people are genuinely gone, how much would it be if I could be mascot or put my mate in the suit? Then fine, try it.
Yeah.
But be prepared to be ridiculed, and they were, and rightly so.
Well, they've got someone in now to do it.
Yeah,
so.
And quite frankly, how many times can you rub yourself up and down a goalpost before it becomes tiresome?
Well, before they had to change the goalposts.
And that's just not cost effective.
Give them a new lick of paint.
So, I couldn't give a fuck if it's a different mascot. Thank you very much for your work, but we move on. Next one. What's next?
Bogle being amazing.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. Next.
We kept 2 clean sheets in a row this week.
Yeah, that was quite orgasmic, actually.
That was good.
I nearly thought it was our first one, but obviously we kept one against Morecambe.
We can link this with the signing of Collins, who I think is going to prove to be a rather good addition.
I don't want to pat our own backs and applaud our own footballing knowledge because we're obviously experts. But we did say we need a new striker. A new...
Centre mid, Conway.
I think I wasn't too bothered. A centre back and a goalkeeper.
And I'd be happy. Hurst, you got all of them.
And
what
I think
a man. He obviously listens to us.
And I think I said, I'll be happy then. And I am. And I don't like it. I don't like change.
No, I know. Like, I think... especially like the 4 additions. Well, I've not seen Henderson yet in goal. But
has anybody? I think the only thing he's done is give his gloves to a fan, which
Collins,
was quite nice.
Collins looks a good appointment.
Yeah, I haven't seen him play. You have?
Solid both times I've seen him.
So
good organiser, and I think Sean Pearson looks a lot more comfortable next to him. And I think also the other thing that we noticed on Tuesday night was Macca looks more comfortable behind that pairing in a way because he commanded his area much better Tuesday night. Best I've seen it for a long time.
And that was probably our naivety, because when we were talking about a centre back we needed, we said one with legs. in League Two, you don't necessarily need that. You just
got, like, someone that's late 30s and slow as hell and yeah. known for being slow.
And but in League Two, you don't necessarily need someone who's got blister in place, because guess what? You're coming up against Akinfenwa, Parkin.
Yeah.
And
or even like a good striker like Podge isn't gifted with pace.
Yes.
So it's
that
more,
half
it's
a yard of experience.
It's exactly in the positioning and all of that kind of thing as well.
So that's all very good. I was expecting Henderson to trouble McEwen more, so unless McEwen stepped up his game, which it feels like he has.
Well, he had his best game for a long time on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I don't, well, McEwen's not droppable after two clean sheets, is he?
No, exactly.
And I think it'll be interesting because Mac is on 4 yellow cards already.
Oh, yeah, that's very interesting.
So Henderson's going to get his chances.
Yeah, because he's going to get suspended.
Yeah. And I did like the snippet from McEwen after the game on Tuesday when he was being interviewed, and he said something along the lines of, oh, yeah, I need to curb my fighting.
He's been living in Grimsby too long now.
Yeah. It's sixth season. He's succumbed to it now.
It comes to his testimonial. We find it has to be delayed because he stabbed someone over a steak bake.
A bit far.
That was quite a good joke, I thought. That was very Grimsby.
Oh, dear. What else has happened, Alex? You went to Luton.
I did. I would say Kenilworth Road is a brilliant ground to visit and very beautiful in terms of its very higgledy-piggledy and shackety. But
it's a proper ground, isn't it?
I would fucking hate it as my home ground.
Yeah.
And I can see where Luton fans come from.
I went there the season they went up from the conference. I think it was 1-1.
Yeah.
And it was. I just remembered a great atmosphere. That's all I remembered, really.
It was really good. The game was brilliant. The atmosphere was fantastic. They apparently Luton fans were making an effort to put their fans next to ours, kind of like what Aldershot used to do. And it didn't seem to work. They were quite quiet. The performance was really good.
Aldershot. Do you miss Aldershot, Alex? Woking away. Could we go to Woking this year?
I miss the immediacy of it.
Who else could? A Braintree?
Quite a few Maidstone around here now. Maidstone. That's in Kent.
Yeah, Maidstone. Yeah, they don't even have a real football pitch.
Oh, good for them.
They're 3G, aren't they?
It's 4G.
But instead, we can play as Omar Bogle on FIFA 17 later.
If you can hear a whirring on the background, that's FIFA loading, because I'm a little bit too obsessed with it. And I can understand people's who don't get into it. They're going, calm down, lad, and all that sort of stuff. But people are genuinely excited. It's the biggest selling game in the UK, and our football club are on it.
Back on it again.
And there's something to be said for that. And that's what you meant a couple of months ago when we were talking about the marketing, when I was talking about, yes, we're on BT Sport, but you were talking about a wider audience. There are people in America that can now play as Omar Bogle.
Yeah, they'll do like a random selection night and end up on Grimsby.
Yeah, disappointingly, I've looked at his stats. No one gets over 70. So Omar Bogle is restricted to 68 potential for any FIFA nerds out there.
Well, do they do updates like Madden do updates? Because I don't play FIFA that much. So.
I don't know. I don't think they'll really give
it. I last bought it when we were last on it, so I might buy this year's.
They might do. But yeah, that's what I've seen on it. But it's early days. I haven't played it yet. I might try and put the commentary early on in front of this.
Oh, right, with the fish chant.
I'm such a nerd. That is on there.
That is on there, apparently. That's brilliant. Yeah. That is great.
Because there's an Australian kid on YouTube who's doing his career. So, you know, like people will put up videos of them playing games. They've got him, but he's picked randomly Grimsby Town as their career mode.
Oh, really?
So he's going, oh, this is Omar Bogle, mate. That's my Australian.
You'll have to post that video on the DN35 Twitter.
There's about 7 episodes of it. Well, this Omar Bogle was quite good, mate.
That's not a good Aussie accent.
That's an Australian that's been living in the East End of London for quite a while. Because obviously his backpacking has stayed on. He met a local girl. And
there's loads of bloody Aussies in London.
Racist.
just saying, no, there's just a lot of people walking around with that particular accent that you so perfectly encaptured there.
Fine. What else has happened in the meantime? What other fuck-ups? Because we got quite angry at one point after like the mascot thing. Anything else?
No, because, well, all the off-the-field stuff sort of got sorted with that fans forum.
That was quite good. Everyone came across quite well. Shame the Telegraph put...
The live blog was a bit misleading on some of the quotes.
But there's a couple of... You can't put all the fault at their end. It should have been live on Mariners Player. It was advertised as live.
I was expecting it to be live.
I think it was advertised as live on Mariners Player as well.
The whole thing's up on YouTube now anyway.
Yeah.
Anyone hasn't listened to it yet.
Unfortunately, there's people. I was disappointed by the attendance because there wasn't that many there. I'm an XR, so I get an excuse. But I was surprised of how many had not gone, and then also the quality of questions asked, unless they filtered them.
I can't comment on that. I don't know.
But unfortunately, if you're going to not broadcast it live, and the only people that can see it outside of the area is through that, and that poor guy is frantically writing his message as he's going, you can expect to be misconstrued at one point or other.
Yeah, no, like those things are bound to happen when they're trying to sum it up very quickly, typing it down. Yeah, no, so that's fair enough. And the other big news off the field is potential massive investment and finance partners for a stadium.
I literally just want them to do the PR. Just like throw any time Fenty goes to press a return button on the HTML website, he just gives him a shock through his arm so he can't say anything. I want them to be the public face of the whole scheme.
And they should be, because yeah, if that scheme comes off, that would be amazing, to put it bluntly.
Yeah.
When was the last time a £200 million project, when it's all included with the homes and everything, has been sort of planned for Grimsby?
Nothing like that. Nothing like that in years.
And
the Euro part was probably the last thing like that.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was that much.
We've both been sceptical about site and stadium and is it viable and all that. But if this thing does get through and gets planning and is legitimate and has wheels, it'd be amazing.
Yeah. Get fan involvement in how the ground looks, get how you want it constructed through the trust, help the trust organise bars and stuff. I have no problem at all with the ground being out of sight, because the biggest advantage of it means is that the money goes to the club,
yeah,
when it comes to you buying a pint and having a meal.
Yeah, if the club get that right around the stadium,
yeah,
it'd be quids in for them.
Yeah, imagine a massive plaza, like a wooden, like a massive concrete plaza, sort of kind of shielded a little bit, where people can stand and drink and have a massive bar. That'd be amazing.
We can dream.
We can dream.
The dream is still on.
They just need to consult people. I like the fact, one of the most sensible things Fenty ever said was, in that funds forum, was, until it gets decided, until we get the green light, you are not seeing any designs. But I hope, beyond hope, that the fans are involved in it at the highest level. Also talk to the fan supporters, Federation,
Manus
Trust,
SFF,
get them involved as well. Look at the data of what fans want in grounds. This could be an incredible idea.
Yeah, and the one thing that I hope is that it takes just long enough that,
yes,
when we get to the planning stage, safe standing is approved for England.
Yes, absolutely.
Scotland absolutely have it, so we surely can't be far away from it.
It looked brilliant. When I was watching the match last night, it looked fantastic. I assume they had to technically sit down, but none of them did.
No. Yeah.
But yeah, I want that too. So good. Stadium's done.
Stadium's
next.
Done. We didn't have a massive falling out over anything. So far, so good. Next is probably looking ahead to the next big talking point, which is Saturday's game.
Hartlepool.
And also what comes with it in terms of previous controversies when we were last talking together.
It was an 8-1 to them.
No. Like Podge and Toto, basically.
Yeah.
And contract lengths and all that. I think all that comes to a head sort of on Saturday, really.
Yeah, I think Podge sullied himself with that, but he's our all-time highest goal scorer since Pat Glover, isn't he? So he's worth a clap and a thank you. Toto, I couldn't give a shit.
Yeah, I think the COD Almighty article that was posted today, I forget the chap that wrote it.
Baz Whittleton.
But I think that was a good piece.
Yeah.
And applauding them when they come out doesn't mean that you have to sort of be polite to them or not support our own team, basically. And they got us back to being on FIFA and being in the league, so we shouldn't really boo them.
And Toto is doing a lot of work for us in terms of our entertainment value, because I have never had more fun in my life watching him get sent off after about 30 seconds or whatever it was a couple of weeks ago.
And I think the Toto departure was understandable in a sense. You know, the fan connection wasn't great, and you know, he'd had his ups and downs on and off the pitch kind of thing. And I think Hurst is sort of, it's only 10 games in, but I think Hurst has proven himself with only offering Podge a 1-year deal.
Yeah, he hasn't lit this league alight,
no,
and that's what we're talking about before, wasn't it?
He scored 2 in 8 starts and played in every league game.
Who was it? The PR account said that Pearson and Toto have scored as many goals for as Podge has this season.
What, combined? Or
yeah, combined.
Yeah, and I think it just quietly sort of, I think Hurst will be sort of...
Watch him get fucking hat-trick.
Yo, absolutely. But that's the curse of the returning player.
Well, we said that. Dale Southwell didn't get near it.
No. Hopefully Podge and Toto will have a stinker of a game on Saturday.
And I don't think we can really... It doesn't have that big an onus anymore because I think everyone is a former Town player nowadays, the amount of people we've got through. So... Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's like that Nicky Featherstone was sent off. Like, apparently he used to play for us. I can barely remember his name.
Did he?
Yeah, I think we had him on loan once. I can't remember, though.
So, it is 10 games in. We can look at the league table, and we are sixth.
Amazing.
We are on 16 points. Plymouth are running away with it. Only lost two games. We've lost four. And we are 1 point off second.
What would you say is the best result we've had so far this season?
That's hard.
It's one of two for me.
Okay. Don't know. Yes, Tuesday's night's victory was nice because it's the sort of game we never win.
Yeah, and it's Saturday was the same. Saturday was like a nostalgic Hurstie away with a gritty 1-0.
And Luton, because it was fantastic. That one in which it was Chambers or Jackson. I think it was Chambers. Missed. It was a beautiful... You've seen it. Someone had picked it out and put it on Twitter somewhere where we took the ball off them cleanly, calmly did it, and then the passing that built up to that ball.
Yeah, oh, I remember seeing that, yeah.
I've never ejaculated over football before, but I got close.
I think Buckley would have approved.
He did. Actually, a little bit too direct. It took 36 passes instead of
40.
Yeah, exactly. So he might have pulled them in a little bit.
I think the result, for me, there's three that stand out. There was the Morecambe first game of the season, which was a really great day, great atmosphere, good win.
Yeah.
The Luton win, obviously. But I think our best result so far this season was probably dismantling Stevenage.
Okay, cool. You were there, weren't you?
No, I wasn't. Oh, okay. I was on holiday.
That's one game I haven't seen. I've been watching most of the full ones on Mariners Player, which, by the way, is brilliant.
Mariners Player full matches.
That you can watch the whole thing. That's fantastic. All credit to them.
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
It's a good feature. It's about time, really.
Yeah, because then I can go, I've seen all the games.
I've watched all the games.
I watched them down
the pub on my laptop.
Yeah, I've been watching it in Starbucks when I'm meant to be writing PDPs.
What on earth are PDPs?
Personal development programs.
Lovely.
Yes.
So Stevenage for me was probably the pick of them, just because of the way we played. Some of those goals in the second half especially were ridiculously good.
That's true.
And I don't know, Bogle just had an unreal day.
I don't like it. I'm full of too much optimism. I don't like it. Please.
Well, I don't necessarily think we'll be in and around the playoffs all season. It'd be great if we were.
Yeah.
I'm
still happy with mid-table.
Yeah, no, I am at this point. And I think just it shows after 10 games that we do belong in this league, and Hurst's rebuild has proven sort of fruitful. Because if you look at the comparison with Cheltenham, who ran away with our division last year.
Yeah, I was just going to bring them up, actually.
Didn't make too many changes, and they're third from bottom.
Yeah, yes, they are.
And Hurst...
Have they still got Harry Hurst, Powell?
I'd assume so. And Hurst had a complete rebuild, lost his top scoring striker, and he's had a great start to the season. I think full credit to him.
He keeps bringing like diamonds from the rough out, doesn't he? He doesn't fight. Danny Collins saying that football's ageist. He's probably got a point. So
yeah,
let's use it to our advantage. We got Disley, same thing. Him, he's very reminiscent of when people have talked about Birtles coming in and stuff. That little extra bit of quality.
We were discussing this on Tuesday night, sort of the people that we sit with, and it's very rare these days that you see a player that's played so long in the top two divisions sort of drop down as they get older.
Yeah.
Because I think with the money in the game, they don't really need to.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
And so it's really, in a way, it's quite refreshing to see someone willing to drop down the divisions, really.
And I hope he's enjoying it. Everyone seems to be very positive about the fans and stuff. I just hope we can replicate the atmosphere we have away from home at home.
Yeah, well, Morecambe was great.
Yes.
And Tuesday, it got a bit frustrating with the way that people played. But overall, the crowd's been really positive.
Good. Do we want to talk about Fatty Parkin?
Oh, we can briefly mention him. He's really fat. He's genuinely put on weight since May.
Well, I was talking to you about this beforehand. At Forest Green, he had a part in his contract where all the players had to eat vegan food, and there was a photo of them. The second they ended their contract, they were all outside Greg's having a pasty. So he's now been opened back up to meat again. He's obviously taking full advantage of that.
Oh, full advantage.
But he is an aggressive fucking animal and should have been banned for 6 months for the tackle he did on Gowley.
Yeah, and because I sit halfway line of the lower.
Yeah.
I made him fully aware of what I thought about his Gowley tackle as he lined up for kickoff at 7:45.
That fat fuck.
Yeah.
And I can't hope to see his fat ass fall through that trapdoor to non-league again. He might get stuck on the way down.
But... No, I think he'll probably retire after the season, to be honest.
Go open a bakery somewhere.
In fairness to him, he's a fat, unlikable person, but he can still hold the ball up.
I'm not surprised. He's got many fat faults he can put it in.
Yeah, and it took Collins a long time to sort of get his grips to him.
It's quite a big body to get your arms
exactly.
around.
but once Collins figured it out, he tracked Parkin a lot of the time in the second half and sort of nullified him eventually.
Good. So yeah,
he can still hold the ball up though.
Yeah, he's talented. He's a bit like McNulty, isn't he?
Yeah.
McNulty was always talented. But he needed to look on his diet a little bit.
Yeah, probably.
Anything else we need to go through?
I don't think so. I think we've whizzed through everything.
It was quite good, that quite brief. But it's been far too serene. Disappointed with Notts County, but they're to be expected.
Yeah, well, it's a step up, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think maybe there was a little bit of naivety in the second
Definitely.
Half. Because when we went 2-0 up, there was a 10-minute period where the atmosphere was amazing and the players were almost taking the piss on the ball kind of thing.
Yes. I was watching it on some Latvian web streaming channel.
And we were playing such great football. We were knocking it past them and just... keeping the ball really well, but we didn't capitalise on it and we didn't kill them off.
Yeah, that's true.
I think ultimately that cost us. And that was still in the period where the back four, if they conceded, it was just panic stations.
Yes. And hopefully now with Collins in that doesn't seem to be happening as much. And he can only get better because they'll gel and grow with one another.
Yeah,
and
even without
unit.
Collins, I think that was a learning curve for the back four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Who's your centre back partner now? Pearson and
Collins for now. Yeah, they've played two and kept two clean sheets, so I don't see how you can change it really.
No, Andrew's doing all right.
He's probably the one that I have most concerns about, if any concern. Looks really good going forward.
Yeah.
Just occasionally gets caught out with sort of players getting in behind him. You could argue the same with Davis, but Davis is more about sort of if he's up against a quick winger, sometimes they can just nip past him.
Davis's delivery is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's been a bit disappointing the last few games, but I mean, start of the season, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, both exactly the same. We haven't scored a free kick for a while. Slightly disappointing.
Yeah, sort it out, Omar.
Yeah.
Omar's was probably the last one, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got Vose, Davis. I'm assuming Davis could take a good one.
Yeah, well, he scored the one against Morecambe.
Was it him? Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I want a couple more free kicks. That's my negative.
Yeah, I think...
How are we with corners now? Because we weren't fantastic at Luton.
They were a bit more mixed on Tuesday. There were some good, some bad.
Any get past the near post?
Yeah, a few did.
Cool.
Yeah, not all of them, I would say, but a few did.
We're getting better.
Yeah, that's a definite improvement. That's a step up right there. But I think there's a real good relaxed feeling in a way. I think there's a lot of pressure that's obviously been lifted from Hurst's shoulders. I think he's settled really into it.
Yeah.
And yeah, so far so good.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Hurst is loving it. I don't think he's going anywhere for a while.
No, not unless someone comes in with a ridiculous offer, which, I mean,
and
in football, you never know.
Oh, we should talk about that as well. So the Sun, who are thinking of any more filthy lies to think of, decided Wigan are interested. Forest are rumoured to be interested.
Yeah, well, there was the rumours around... deadline day that Stoke and Ipswich were interested.
Yeah.
Stoke and Fulham. I think he's got 2 seasons left on his contract.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think for us to sell him in the middle of a season would have to be a ridiculous offer.
Exactly, yeah, I agree. And
I think it should be see what's happening in the summer unless something ridiculous comes in.
And I think some people aren't that desperate for someone. They're quite happy to watch how he develops and how he grows into the league, because he might just be running on confidence at the moment.
Yeah,
and he might,
he's obviously a confidence player. Yeah. He is playing with all the confidence in the world, and you can just see it in the way that he walks around the pitch. I mean,
yeah, and
it's really enjoyable to watch a Grimsby player with that level of confidence and swagger in a way, because we've not had it in a long time.
It'll be nice to see what he's like when how quickly he gets out of the dry patch he will go through.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's my only concern, is the amount of goals coming from Bogle rather than the other departments.
Yeah.
I think
you're right. I think it will be, I think that's what a lot of scouts will be looking at. If he goes two or three games without scoring or has a bad game or two,
will he disappear?
How does he respond?
Yeah.
And I think it'll just take one goal for Tooten or Jackson to get back into it, and they'll be fine.
Good. Let's get comfortable, ladies and gentlemen. Let's do profile time.
We are returning to profiles. Bloody hell, when was the last time we did one of these?
Quite a while ago, actually.
Yeah, because we had a few where we didn't do one, didn't we? Yeah.
So, speaking of players with swagger and that confidence, I'm going to do one of my personal favourite footballers for Town. And he only played 15 games.
One of my favourite as a kid. Absolutely.
I'm going to take everyone back to 2000, and we're going to talk about the on-loan striker, David Nielsen. So he arrived in late September with Lauren McMenemy. So his slightly naive and a young me was watching it. Alan Buckley left after Port was sacked, disgracefully, really, looking back in hindsight, after Portsmouth, after a draw. And Lauren McMenemy came in. Alan Buckley didn't really have a thing for overseas players. And the second Lauren McMenemy came... why do I keep saying Lauren McMenemy? Lenny Lawrence coming
Lenny
in.
Lenny Lawrence, yeah.
Yeah. Apologies. When Lenny Lawrence came in, there was a sway. There was an open door. So we had anything from Zhang Enhuah.
Hero. I just talked about him on the way to the game on Tuesday. He came up in conversation.
His kid's called Grimsby, isn't it? Is he kid called Grimsby? His kid was born in Grimsby, wasn't he?
I couldn't tell you.
His kid was born in Grimsby. There was Nuts Anders Fostervold, who was frankly shit. Menno Willems, who scored one decent free kick at about 50 miles an hour and broke a pontoon light once. But mostly there was David Nielsen, who came in. His first appearance for us was against Huddersfield, and I'm not even doing this off notes, I remember it. So I was a season ticket in the pontoon back then with the naughty boys, he came on in the second half, and the second he got the ball, you know that electric feel when Bogle gets the ball and he's one, or Jackson gets the ball and he's one on one,
yeah,
like everybody's up on their feet straight away, that was instant. His pace, and we were in Division 1 then, so our players weren't Parkin, they weren't McNulty. Macca was pretty speedy. Groves wasn't a slouch.
Yeah, well, Buckley, before the game on Tuesday, described Macca as the quickest player that he had at Grimsby.
Yeah, he probably was. But Nielsen was something else. He picked the ball up against Sutherfield on the far side near the John Smith stand at the time and ran at them. And it was terrifying. He came in and he was absolutely terrifying with his speed. The biggest game he had, though, was for QPR, when we played them at home and we won 3-1. He dominated the game. He came on, started a volley from about 12 yards out into the roof of the net. It was the most exquisite goal I'd seen all season. And then came his trademark backflip, which was fantastic. We'd never seen anything like that before, but it was... He came and he continued to do it. Kind of waned a bit. He only scored 8.
Only
after 15. But he was fantastic. He changed the way we played. And at that point, I was like, this could really work with this guy. He was bringing in these players we'd never heard of. He wanted to sign permanently. But from his book and from rumours, it included paying off some gambling debts. He had quite big problems with it. What did he do in the end? He was found out to be... Well, his teammate as well. I don't know if it was his brother. It was certainly a teammate at AAB. He'd raked up a debt of €201,000 with a bookies. And he admitted to deliberately playing badly to lose a match in Copenhagen against his former club, Copenhagen. He was Copenhagen to the UAE, blah, 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 would yield, so it yielded him a personal bonus of 300,000, and Nielsen was motivated by his gambling debts for it. Nielsen was sacked because of it when he physically attacked a teammate, Alan Gard, during a trading session, leaving him unconscious.
that's worse than chicken wings, that is.
Oh my God. It was against an Italian as well, saying he was pretentious, he was talking too loud about wine in Italy. I told him, the next time you speak Italian, I'll break you in half. You're a fucking Italian. You spent 8 months there. So when he did it again, I decided to break his shitting legs with like sticks. I chucked at him and bang, jackpot. It felt good.
That's he spent too long in Grimsby, that
yeah,
boy.
That was, it doesn't take too much. During a pre-season... in a friendly against Leeds United, he made a shockingly high-footed tackle on Robert Snodgrass, who blames him, who was injured and missed the start of the campaign. Pretty good. He's currently managing at Lyngby, which is a second division Danish side. He previously played for Copenhagen in the Champions League. Went on to went from Wimbledon to Norwich on loan.
What's he doing now? He's in...
He's managing a Lyngby, some team called Lyngby.
Yeah, I thought he was in management over there.
He did a bigger team, Strømsgodset, and I apologise if I got the right, for several
rolls
months.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yes. And he stepped down by mutual consent. But the real reason I picked him, and it was very quick because Henry has got to go, but was literally just the optimism. He was such a difference in how everybody else, he was a class above everybody else we had that. And that's, I assume that's exactly what people felt when they were talking about, like, Gary Birtles. He was just a step apart from us.
Well, it's like my other memory when we were in Division 1 of players that were just a different level was probably Andy Todd.
Yeah, exactly. Just everything was so effortless. And every time he got the ball, everyone stood up. You heard the whole ground
just
stand
like
up.
The seats. You just heard the noise in the seats. Yeah.
And then like that expectant roar. It was fantastic. But that was it. David Nielsen.
Wonderful.
Good.
Right, so... that's us done for this episode.
We are done. Thank you very much for listening. We will get back one. We will do another.
It won't
one.
Be as long next time.
No, a couple of weeks, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
But thank you very much. We want to hear about your memories of your best players on the Twitter site. And
your Green 27 on Twitter.
I'm Green 27.
I'm Henry Barber on Twitter.
And we've got DN35
podcast on Twitter.
Good.
Wonderful.
All right. Have a nice day, guys. Bye.
Bye.